Good afternoon. I'm Rebecca Early, the VEDS manager at the Virginia Department of Health. And today I'm going to be talking about our multifaceted surveillance system response to an emerging infection, in this case, Zika virus disease. So to put the surveillance system activities that I'm going to be describing into historical context, public health awareness and response to Zika virus disease started toward the end of 2015 and really started ramping up in Virginia at the beginning of 2016. Our data needs changed very rapidly during the acute phase of response to this emerging health event. Some surveillance challenges due to this included data timeliness, completeness, and accuracy. The Virginia Department of Health took a multifaceted approach to meet the demands for data collection and reporting. And our approach changed over time in terms of the systems that we used and how we used them. So we used several instruments during our Zika response to capture data. The instruments are listed on this slide, and each of them went through several iterations, necessitating changes in the systems to capture the data. We had more than 7 forms to collect data, as well as laboratory findings from non-ELR laboratories that needed entry into our system. Leadership in the acute phase of response wanted up-to-the-minute data on persons being screened and their screening results. So this is some of the challenges that we had. VDH used a combination of the following listed on the slide to meet surveillance needs. So we used ARBANET, we also used VEDS, and they're listed alphabetically on this slide. VEDS is Virginia's installation of the NBS system, and we use that to track all reportable conditions in Virginia except HIV and STD. We also used REDCap, Access, and Excel. We used file sharing through SFTP and SharePoint, and we used statistical programs including SAS and STATA for quality assurance between the systems. The diagram on slide 5 shows the overlapping use of the surveillance systems during calendar year 2016. In the top half of the slide are tools that were accessible by central office and our district staff. So we had file sharing, we had our VED system, and we had a public-facing REDCap project that allowed physicians to request Zika testing online. On the bottom half of the slide are tools accessed only by central office staff. They included Excel tools, REDCap, ARBANET, and an access tool for mosquito surveillance. So I'll talk a little bit more in depth about these systems in the next slides, but as you can see, there were a lot of systems being used to meet the surveillance needs for Zika, and some overlap as well, which I'll talk about. So we used SharePoint to share all forms that the districts filled out. When I talked about those 7 different forms, if they filled those out, they shared those via SharePoint. Excel was used during the very initial stages to assign Zika ID numbers and capture screening data and lab results. Some of the pros of that, Excel was flexible, easily stood up, but it's not a database. It had limited functionality. It was really unwieldy for larger data sets, and all the data had to be hand-entered. So REDCap was stood up shortly after to replace Excel. It was originally purchased to respond to Ebola, and the staff tasked with monitoring Zika were familiar with REDCap. So some of the pros of REDCap was that it was easily updated to reflect these changing forms. We had limited need for IT assistance to make those changes, and it was very user-friendly in terms of generation of reports and graphs. So that leadership requirement for real-time data, essentially, REDCap really filled that need and excelled at that need to provide that data very quickly and accurately. Some of the cons of using REDCap during this acute phase, almost all the data was hand-entered. There was duplicative entry of that information into VEDS, and we also had to enter ELR data into REDCap. So briefly, the public-facing REDCap was used for physician requesting testing for Zika. The pros for this is it allowed secure submission of confidential information electronically. It really sped up testing approvals, and it allowed our monitoring team to look at that information very quickly and assess the situation. One of the cons for that is it did require double data entry of that screening information into our VED system. The public-facing REDCap was used initially in 4 Northern Virginia districts and then was rolled out to 5 additional districts across the state. An access tool was used for mosquito surveillance, and then VEDS really filled the need and overlap with several of the different systems. Initially, it had very limited questions, and one of the challenges was that an ETL built the data overnight, so reports would just be as accurate as the day before. We built out Pages and Page Builder to really capture screening data, case investigation information, pregnancy registry information, and mosquito surveillance. So we really, during this time, transitioned to more of a reliance on VEDS from REDCap, using the Page Builder functionality to capture these new forms and new data needs. So, also during this time, we continued to use ARBANET to send data to CDC. Over 2,100 persons had Zika-related data captured in both REDCap and VEDS. And as I mentioned before, we really transitioned to use of VEDS over REDCap over time. Maintaining 2 surveillance systems with duplicative information for, you know, lab reports, screening information, and results was really resource draining. And there was a quality assurance requirement to make sure that VEDS and REDCap data matched. And that that was challenging as well. VEDS turned out to be the more sustainable choice due to the automation and availability of ELR data, data entry and accessibility by field staff, and long-term documentation of cases. REDCap is still being used in our state for some special situation Zika monitoring, but the bulk of it is now almost entirely in VEDS. A note on current and future, notes here is we have used the data that is entered into VEDS. We have an automated data flow that pulls the data from VEDS to populate the CDC Zika pregnancy registry. Also, we've worked with our surveillance staff has worked with our subject matter experts to design a Euro survey using REDCap based on a toolkit that Florida designed. And we're also looking at actually consuming that REDCap request that physicians enter into to REDCap, actually consuming that through the public health document container process in VEDS, essentially as a morbidity report. And we plan to transition to NBS alone, excuse me, for sending data to CDC. Some brief lessons learned. As I'm sure all of you know, all surveillance systems have limitations. Really, maximum flexibility is needed for the acute phase public health surveillance as needs change rapidly. And so you have to really determine what your needs are. Also involve informatics and IT teams early on in the process to identify both short-term and long-term solutions. And here's a proposed diagram that kind of really shows what the Virginia Department of Health did, which is time is on the x-axis and the y is the change in public health event. And really, when change was extreme, we really had to use a surveillance tool that was very flexible, which at the time was REDCap. And then once we configured our traditional surveillance system using Page Builder to really respond to that, we transitioned over to use of the NBS system. So some conclusions. Our experience was that REDCap provided flexibility needed during the most acute phase. In terms of, you know, changing these questions and the up-to-the-minute reports that we were requested, and that VEDS, however, really provides a long-term home for case data and is really the sustainable solution. But states can consider response as a template or example for surveillance system response for an emerging infection. And I would acknowledge my co-author and contributors and thank VES IT and informatics teams. Thank you.
All right, so I have good news and even better news. Good news, my presenters are very good and they're actually a little early. The better news, you guys have more time for questions. So if all of you guys can come up front, please, and if you guys have any questions for them, they can take that at this moment.
I'm Mugda, and I'm the vaccine preventable epidemiologist in Indiana. And I had a question for you about the VEDS system and the transition to the morbidity reports in NBS. And I was wondering if the REDCap system that you were using required like a login or anything, and whether you anticipate any drop-off in your morbidity report reporting transitioning over to the PHDC system in NBS.
So we are working on a web form separate from the physician request for Zika testing, so that when folks, when providers go to the VDH webpage, there will be a morbidity report they can fill out, and we hope to actually import that as well into VEDS as a case report. I will have to get back with you on the login. I believe the physicians did have a log on, and what happened is once they submitted the request for testing, that was all that they saw. If they put it in pending mode, they could go back and edit the morbidity report, but really they only saw what they submitted. That's the only thing they could see. They were limited to that. They didn't have any other access but to the data they submitted to the system.
I got questions for you too. I'm Chrissy in Louisiana. We are also an NBS state. So I was hoping that you would be willing to share your page builder investigation page. So we're currently transitioning to the upgraded version of NBS so we can implement the 1.3 arboviral message mapping guide.
Right.
But I'd like to take a look at your investigation page to see how that could be used, because certainly that would really make it a lot more efficient to reporting to the Zika pregnancy registry. So I'd also like to see that export as well, if that's possible. And then my last request is, so you said you're using morbidity reports. Our system's really set up more for lab reports, and the way I understood NBS was that you couldn't have it set up for both for external users. And then also, what's the turnaround time when a physician submits a request to an epi actually approving it for testing?
So just to go back on the physicians requesting testing, so they're not actually using NBS to request testing. They were actually logging into REDCap, but they're making the request in REDCap. So we saw that request when they put it into REDCap as essentially a morbidity report, a report of suspected Zika. So we're currently working on there was actually a NUG call. So if you're an NBS state, my supervisor, Tim Powell, did a presentation on a project where they're looking to consume the essentially a REDCap case report into VEDS. So they're doing that work right now. So I don't know if that answered that question.
Sure.
But we're definitely willing to share. Yeah, absolutely. Great. If I could get your card and stuff, that'd be great.
Hi, my name is Veronica Fialkowski. I'm from the Vermont Department of Health, and this is a question for Rebecca as well. We're also an NBS state, and I was just curious, how difficult was it to hook VEDS up to the Zika pregnancy registry, and you know, how long of a process was that, and validation and so forth?
I would say it probably took about 2 months. We had it involved informatics as well as IT folks, but we were working on the pages. As I mentioned in the presentation, there were several iterations of that case report form, And so we did go in and change it, you know, several times. We worked with the pregnancy registry staff to make sure it was correct. And we also did SQL coding to make sure that flow went in correctly. And so it was definitely well worth it. I think we were the first state to do it. So we can share that page.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Really close to this to be heard. Yeah, there you go. I have a question about the novel influenza. Yay. So I'm working with RCKMS, and novel influenza, the funny part about it is everything that's new that may not have been seen before. So in defining criteria for novel influenza surveillance to automate reporting, I thought I'd take advantage of asking you, can we define what the... how well could we define now what would be novel to expect in a year from now? Is there a list of things that would be known, that would be novel known, or are there, so to get practical, you got to come up with a set of codes and define what you actually want to be looking for novel influenza. How often is it something that you actually haven't seen before that's novel, or is it that it's things that have been seen before and have been coded or are named, but now they're appearing?
So it's for us, it's defined more with our test that we distribute to the states. We have a PCR test, and there are seasonal flu viruses that are going or circulating each year that test picks up and lets you know this is an AH3 or AH1, which are the normal seasonal subtypes, or B, which are different types. That test can also let you know you have a variant flu, one that's common. It lets you know this is an H3N2V or an H1N1V, but it also can say this is just a type A unsubtypable, and that lets you know that this is a novel virus that we haven't really seen that much in the U.S., so we haven't developed tests for, but it is something different than what is normally circulating. And so I think if you're thinking of you know, defining codes, which is not an area that I'm at all an expert in, so this is probably going to be completely wrong, but it's really those non-seasonal human viruses or anything that's not in that circle is really going to be a novel flu that you're going to want to investigate in your state and have ready, a code ready for. And it's, I mean, if you're really wanting notes, you know, H2s could be H5s. Those are all the different subtypes that could fit in. So mm-hmm. Is that answering the question?
Partly, but one other follow-up then is this testing just being done at CDC or elsewhere?
No, it's in all of your state labs, and then also some hospitals even will have a molecular test that can pick up that this is something different than what they normally see in humans. But all of the state labs have this capacity. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Desiree actually is our epi lab expert, and will say all the wrong things I said there. So.
All right. So my name's Abigail. I'm a Tarrant, which is Fort Worth, North Texas. This is a question for Jessica. So we've been dealing with a not measles, but mumps outbreak in Texas as of late. And I wanted to go ahead and ask, I would love to be able to use syndromic surveillance, especially Essence, to really understand what's going on in our environment and if we're really capturing cases. It sounds like you guys stood up the measles algorithm pretty quickly and adjusted to you know, the Goldilocks scenario. Was there any work that you would like to have done or had done ahead of time so you didn't have to do it so fast?
Yes. So let me see. I was about a year into my position as syndromic surveillance when when that outbreak occurred. Our focus was on other projects such as ILI and heat-related illness. So we didn't focus on the measles syndrome before that point. Of course, we would have liked to improved it and done that up front. And now there is a syndrome syndrome definition work group that's going to go through Essence especially and really vet the existing Essence syndromes. And if you'd like to be a part of that work group, come up afterwards and I can get you some information. But it would be an interesting case study to look through mumps. I would recommend looking for all the different types of swollen glands and that sort of thing, but also your situational awareness is really key.
Yeah, actually Erin emailed me
yeah.
as we were in the middle of it and asked if Essence had pulled anything for our jurisdiction, and the answer was no, nothing
right.
we didn't already know about. But yeah, it like you were saying, it's just the ICD codes for mumps. As opposed to, well, are they having swelling, and what does swelling actually mean, and all of those nuances of the system. So thank you.
Yeah, we do have a little bit of experience starting to look at a mumps syndrome, so we can talk about that and share a dashboard possibly. I do want to mention that our project last year used the BioSense 2.0 version, and it would be quite different using Essence right now. There's a limited capacity to pull that big CSV file and then feed it into SAS. So we're still testing the waters on how to do something like this in the new system.
Okay, yeah, we're in the middle of our transition with Houston to move over everything, but we have a local platform too that we rely a little more heavily on, so yeah, it'll
okay.
be helpful. Thank you.
Great, yes.
Do we have any more questions? I might be forced to start singing if you guys don't have questions, though. No?
I don't think you want to hear it.
All right. Well, if there are no more questions, if we can just thank our presenters one more time, please.